Enjoyed the song service this evening. We appreciate Brother John's humble prayer, and we appreciate your attendance here this evening. We do ask you to pray for us. A little time that we stand before you, and that our remarks would be a benefit to you, and I trust that they will. Brother Joe Young knows a little bit about football recruiting. He could tell some stories about that, I would imagine. There was a coach over at USM not many years ago that we faced some uphill struggles over there at Southern Miss. We don't have the prestige or the money that the SEC schools that we have to compete against in recruiting. But a coach several years ago that, you know, back in that day, the only signing day was the first Wednesday in February where high school athletes signed to play college football. And when Coach Larry Fedora was at USM, on the Thursday, the day after, he extended offers to the next recruiting class. And Brother Joe will probably tell you sometimes that first offer carries a lot of weight. And it served us well at USM. So I say that to say this, that we've already turned our attention toward the East St. Mid Association in 2020. And we're extending offers. I plan to do like Brother Steve Woods mentioned about Brother Joseph Shiles writing a personal letter. I'm not going to send an email or a text message. I'm going to write to these dear brethren individually. And, you know, I remember Brother David Montgomery talk about, you know, I told one of my co-workers, she asked how the meeting went. I knew it was going to be out of work Friday and asked how the meeting went. And you know, I tried to tell her about the meeting a little bit, Brother James, but you, especially if you're not among the old Baptists, you don't understand, but she was kind of taken aback a little bit when I said we had church all day Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning. And you know, I remember what Brother David Montgomery said about that one time. He said somebody got a brilliant idea starting on Thursday night. So we may be looking at a Thursday night start to the next association. We have commitments right now from many of the elders that were there this weekend, plus Elder James Isaacs, Elder Ronald Lawrence, Elder Philip Conley, Elder Mark Green, Elder Danny Wisner. And I think for the first time in my lifetime, there was not a preacher from Alabama that preached at the association. And we're going to try to correct that, because Brother Luke Laird, Brother Heath Williams, and Brother David Guthrie have already committed as much as we can commit to being with us in that meeting. So I trust that Antioch, the plans will start now. I'm committed to pray for it every day from now until it starts, and then pray there when it does begin. We had a wonderful example here at Union Church just a few years ago when you hosted the East St. Mid Association on Saturday morning. I made the comment that Brother James, when we get the preaching committee together, and the singing was so good that morning. And I told him when I got there, I said, Brother James, this morning I really felt you could have drew the preacher's name out of a hat for all I care. And I didn't want to leave this assembly. This place is almost full. And we were a little concerned about the size of Antioch Church. You know, we talked about maybe having it here, hosting it here. And I know my precious mom said, told my brother, said, son, it might be the last one I get to attend at Antioch. And said, I really prefer to have it there. And so it's going to be we trust a packed house, and we're looking forward to it right now. Let's go back to this past weekend, though, and use some things in Scripture that are a great benefit to us. For time's sake, I'll be very brief on this aspect of it, but the church in Bethel at Baton Rouge, my daddy served that church for over 30 years. I forget, 30-something years. And I remember riding down there in an old Volkswagen bus. Some of you might remember we had that, and we'd sing all the way to Baton Rouge. We'd be warmed up when we got there, and had some wonderful times. And across the years, there was a lot of adversity in the church as far as death and members moving away. Brother Wayne passed away. Brother Randy passed away, and Brother David Cofferton was called away to another location and a different congregation in another state. And then the floodwaters came. And Brother Hugh Sanders mentioned this weekend about your labors in the Lord are not in vain, and about a good tired. You come before the church meeting. Last time before you had the meeting here, I love it when I walk in here and I see this cathedral ceiling and the wood there. And, you work in the flower beds, and it seemed like you work in the flower beds at home, you get real sore the next day. But you work here in the flower beds, and it doesn't seem like the soreness is quite as bad. But again, our labors of love in the Lord are not in vain. But those precious, that precious family at Bethel Church not only lost their pastors, had 5 feet of water in the church. One deacon, Brother Shane Burris, and his family, his children can quote more Bible verses than most ministers can, I believe. And they moved to the state of Georgia to be closer to Sister Leah's family. Brother James Hughes, the other deacon, developed pancreatic cancer and passed away at what we consider an untimely death. And I've gone from this church, and others have too, that I left here on second Sunday and went and preached in Sister Pam's home. We have church there. And we moved back to the church, and they ordered pews, and a man from Gulf Shores, Alabama, was going to build them for Bethel Church. And his main, I forget the exact details, but it seemed like, if I remember correctly, his main construction guy very unexpectedly had a massive heart attack and died, and pushed the pews back several months for completion. And we finally got back in the church, and they were sitting in folding chairs there. And most of the time I went, there were 7 women there and a little girl. Most of the time. I was the only man in the building, and I talked about that a little bit among some of our elders, and one elder told me, he said, under those circumstances, I don't think it'd be against Scripture to call on some of those sisters to pray. I talked to another elder, and he said, I don't know if I'd do that, Brother Mickey, and so I did all the praying audibly, but I can't tell you how it moved me this weekend. Brother James, I was rejoicing in the Lord and His goodness. And I know those sisters at that church. And since that time, the Lord has blessed them with a pastor, with a wife and young children. Brought Brother Joe McClatchy there with his job. And it seemed like they just beginning to bounce back. And we know how that came. It came by the mercies of our Lord. You read in Scripture many, many verses related to what I'm talking about this evening. In one place, Paul writes that he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient." And I believe the two "my's" in that verse are talking about two different. That pronoun refers back to two different things or two different beings. Paul is telling the Lord, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then Paul said, "Because my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. In one of the Psalms, the Bible says, I think it's 24:10, perhaps it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Scripture in one of the book of maybe 1 Corinthians talks about a capital W, "Who comforteth us in tribulation, that we may comfort others that are in trouble also." When we realize that His grace is sufficient, that He delivers us from the afflictions of this life. And we know that the Bible says, "In this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Another place in Romans chapter 5, I think it was, Paul writes, "For I glory in tribulation." I glory in tribulation. That seems like an unnatural statement for a human to make. Why does he say, "I glory in tribulation"? He said, "Because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." You know the song, "What don't kill will make you stronger"? Another song says, the Lord gave us mountains, so we learn how to climb. Thou fainted in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Paul said, as I mentioned a moment ago, that I glory in tribulation. I glory. You know, Paul wrote in another place in Romans, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Through the adversity that the Bethel Church at Baton Rouge has faced, through the adversity we face in our personal lives, I believe it strengthened us. And we acknowledge our great dependence upon the thrice holy God. You know, sometimes when things are flowing smoothly, I don't pray as I ought. I probably don't study as I ought. I don't meditate upon the Scriptures as I ought. But, you know, let me get in trouble. And Lord, I need you now. You know, I love that song in this book, I Need Thee Every Hour, Most Gracious Lord. I need Thee. We tell you, glory in tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. In another place in Scripture says that the afflictions of the righteous are many. The afflictions of the righteous are many. But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Not most of them, all of them. All of our afflictions. It may not turn out exactly like we anticipate, like we hope for, like we pray for. But friends, I've heard Elder Wayne Meyer say many, many, many times in my life, the Lord is too wise to make a mistake. And when we awake with His likeness, we shall be satisfied. We'll have a perfect knowledge and we'll understand. I don't think there's ever been one that we mentioned sometimes untimely deaths. And I think sometimes we think about these people that are young that are taken from our presence, and we don't quite understand that, because this book does tell us that pretty much our appointed time upon the earth is 60 years, or perhaps reason of strength is 40 years. Our strength is labor and sorrow, and we are soon cut off and we fly away. But Paul also said in another case, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. He said, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. He said, I've learned to be full. I've learned to be hungry. I've learned to abound. I've learned to suffer need. That church at Baton Rouge was suffering need. And this past weekend, some of those needs had manifested themselves, that the Lord had answered prayers of so many and rewarded their faithfulness. You know, I know that church could have said, Brother Joe, we just can't continue. We don't have a pastor. Our church is gone. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, we have one that comforts us in tribulation, that we may comfort those in trouble also. When we understand that the Lord will see us through these things. I'm at the age in my life where nearly all the churches that I worship in were built when I was just a little boy, Brother Levi. I had very little financial contribution to those churches. I'm reaping the benefits of some who came before me, who sometimes scrimped and saved and labored to build a house for our Lord. Friends, we need to be committed to continue to keep house for our Lord. Not just the 2020 Amen Association. Brother Joseph Child mentioned this weekend, what a blessing it is to have all of our churches to come together. I've said before that, you know, if I was to win the lottery and win those big old mega jackpot things, that I would build a primitive Baptist facility. And I would try every fifth Sunday, pretty centrally located, and I would try to get every fifth Sunday for all the primitive Baptist churches in this area to come together and worship. What a time that would be. You know, sometimes we get together on Wednesday nights. You know, there's some that are membership at other church here this evening. Sometimes on Sunday night at Antioch, on the first Sunday night, we come together and worship, and we get to be together with Brother James, I know you feel this way too, that I want to know you better. We come to the association and we have a handshake line, and a deacon from California comes through the line, and that I've seen twice. I've seen twice in my 59 years on this earth. And with tears in his eyes, he embraces me and said, I love you, Brother Mickey. And you know what? He sincerely meant it. Isn't it a blessing? You know, we've had this conversation with these California brethren before that probably the two most stereotyped states in the nation are Mississippi and California. And you know what? It just seems like those brothers from California and those sisters from California, it seems like they could live in Southwest Mississippi and thrive. Some of you have been out to California. I know Brother James has visited them out there and preached for them. And I look forward to the time I go out there and be with them. It's an amazing thing when you just meet somebody for the first time, but you travel and visit churches. And I encourage you, this group will visit. Y'all show up everywhere I go. And that's a blessing to these young, these small churches, dear friends. They need your encouragement and their support. And it's been a tremendous, it makes a tremendous difference with them. I'll tell you about a couple things this evening for just a moment. Over in the second, in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. In 2 Samuel, chapter 7, David, King David, is sitting in his house. And the Bible says the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. He's in a good situation, isn't he? He's in a pretty good situation. He's sitting in his house. And the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. He has an important guest there at his home at that particular time by the name of Nathan. You study Nathan a little bit and see about his relationship with David. And King David told Nathan, he said, I'm sitting here in my house of cedar in great comfort, and the ark of God dwelleth in curtains. Friends, the Lord has blessed us to prosper at Union Church, Antioch Church, Middleton Creek, Mount Gilead. The churches I'm affiliated, New Bethel down at Tylertown, there's some members of those churches that have been blessed to prosper. And we ought to build the house of God and maintain it to the best of our ability. It ought to be a place of comfort. This is the Lord's house. You know, sometimes I'll hear, and I've been guilty of it before. You know what? Brother Roddy Lowder meant does not have a church. It's not Brother Roddy Loudermilk's church. You ever hear anybody say that? I'm going up to Brother Roddy Loudermilk's church. It's not his church. I'm not casting stones on Brother Roddy Loudermilk. You can put any elder in that blank prior to that. It's the Lord's church. It's his house. And we need to keep house for him in such a way that it'd be an inviting place. And this building is not the church. The church resides in the hearts of his people. And I want us to be a hospitable people. I think we've earned that sentiment from our brothers and sisters across other areas of the country. But I want them to always say, boy, that's Southwest Mississippi. That Amen Association, you'll find love and sweet fellowship there. You know, that's what the minister said. It's supposed to be given to hospitality. All the responsibility of that doesn't rest with the minister, though, but the entire bride of Christ. We ought to welcome these dear brethren. And I appreciate that you open your homes to them. And what a blessing it is. Brother Ronnie Loudermilk came to my house one time. I was going to take him to Cracker Barrel. And he said, Brother Mickey, no point in doing that. He said, man, we'll just eat what you got here. We had Wheaties and Mountain Dew. And that story keeps getting told. Keeps getting told. One time I mailed him, before he was coming here, I wrote him a box, a Mississippi Care package. I had a big box of Wheaties and a six-pack of Mountain Dew I mailed to him over in, he's living in Georgia at that time. But we need to treat these elders in such a way they want to come back and worship with us again. We need to pray for them way before they get there. The Lord bless them to preach. I'm guilty of that sometimes. I think some of these elders, I get the mindset that, oh, they can preach. You know what I've heard? I've heard some very able ministers make a failure sometimes. In a sense, it was a failure. In another way, it's a great blessing to me. Because sometimes, I mentioned this, and I probably shouldn't tell this too, but I was guilty one time of putting Brother Ricky Harcrow too high of a pedestal. And he came to Antioch Church one time, got out of his car, put a piece of peppermint in his mouth, and threw the cellophane wrapper on the ground at our church. And I said, Brother Ricky, thanks for doing that. And I couldn't get embarrassed him a little bit that I pointed out that he had done it. I don't know if he even realized he did it. I said, thanks for doing that. He said, what's that? I said, for throwing that piece of peppermint, that wrapper on the ground. I said, because I'd put you on too high of a pedestal. I'd put you up a little bit too high. And he said, well, Brother Mickey, I'm going to turn around and pick it up, but I'm glad I threw it down. What a lesson that is to me. And sometimes preacher worship is a terrible thing. I've heard some elders preach that had very, very limited, Brother John, education. Very limited. I heard a preacher preach one time. I won't call his name, but I don't want to bring in any embarrassment. He's deceased now, but he said something like this. If God be for us, who can be against us? Brother Burrow probably heard him preach before. He knows what I'm talking about. If God be for us, who can be against us? I understood that. That's scriptural. That's Romans 8, about 31, 32. If God be for us, who then can be against us? Let me finish out. I've had several places I want to go tonight, but I want to finish this right here. David is in his comfortable home. There was a time, you know, when Nehemiah was in the palace of Shushan. And it was the month of Kislev, whichever it is, which it's almost winter. I doubt he wanted to leave the palace, but you know, we sang a song tonight, but and prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. You know, when Moses one time, but from age 7 to age 40, as far as the material possessions of this life, he had it made. He had been taken in and adopted pretty much by Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible says he was skilled and learned and mighty in word and deeds and skilled in the ways of the Egyptians. He had Egyptian history 101. He knew all about Egyptian culture. But the Bible says when he became a full 40 years of age, it entered into his heart to return to his people, the children of Israel. How did that enter into his heart? How did that happen? The Lord told him, said, Moses, you're not an Egyptian. You're going to lead my people out of Egyptian bondage. So, and, you know, Moses said, you know, over in Hebrews chapter 11, it said that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When you see him who is invisible, have you ever seen the one who is invisible? I've seen him. He's invisible, though. I felt him. I felt him in Baton Rouge this weekend. And how precious, you know, I've heard people say before that one reason I keep going to church is because I keep waiting for that moment when manna falls from heaven in the camps of Israel. And I want to be there to receive it. I don't want to receive it on a CD. I want to be there to receive it. There have been times it seemed like I could just reach out and touch the border of his garment. And those are times of refreshing that come from the Lord when we can forget about the things of this world for a little while and set our affections upon things above, and we know that the Lord's presence is there with us. But he told Nathan, he said, I'm sitting here in all this comfort, and the ark of God dwelleth in curtains. And Nathan told him, David, let me read this to you real quickly in Scripture. Then the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. That very night, the Lord appeared unto Nathan. I wonder why he didn't appear unto David. I've been contemplating that a little bit, but he appeared unto Nathan. and said, you go ask David, go tell David, shall he build me a house in which to dwell? He said, because for the time since I brought you out of Egypt, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, I've not been in a house. I've been walking in a tent and in a tabernacle. And he said, I brought David out of the sheep coat. Sheep, C-O-T-E. You know, I tell you before, one of the most important things I do with my phone is look up the meaning of words. I had to look up sheep coat. You know what it means? It means a small pen. I brought him from a small sheep pen to be king of Israel, to govern over my people. I paraphrase that just a little bit, but said, David, I've been good to you. And friend, I tell you this thing, the Lord, Brother Dennis Rushing selects that song so often, the Lord has been so good to me. The Lord's been good to me. Very, very good to me. Way, way better than I deserve. Friends, we get to eat at the king's table. I mentioned Mephibosheth so often. He was in the Samaritan slum and he was a grandson of a king. But he was lame on both his feet. At the time when handicapped, either mentally or physically handicapped people their habitation was without the camp. It was looked down upon like the family was being punished for some sin or something. But David said, go fetch him and bring him. And he said, he'll eat at my table continually as one of the king's sons. You know, there's the people in this world that have worshiped with us, Brother Joe, here at this church that are hungry today. And they have an opportunity to come and dine at the master's table. He's brought us out of the sheep coat. What about that old prodigal son? Jewish boy slopping hogs. We were a little bit of a hog farmer when I was growing up, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't really like it. Hog killing was an event. Tell me, Baton Rouge Church, Brother Claude and Sister Kate Watts were my grandparents' best friends. He would take a week of vacation from Exxon in Baton Rouge. He went there after World War II to find work. Lived in North Baton Rouge, was a faithful member of that church for many years. He would take a week off in the winter to come up and kill hogs with my grandparents. And I'd tell Brother Ricky, I can think of 1,000 things to do on vacation, and killing hogs ain't one of them. But you know that old boy was in that hog pen, remember what he said? My daddy's servants are better off than me. I'm down here eating these carob pods and my daddy's servants. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to ask to be one of his servants. And I said it before, there's no telling how many nights of sleep that daddy lost. When our children are in trouble, we're in trouble. When our church members are in trouble, we're in trouble. I'm going to try to do some inviting and some encouraging. We get ready for the East End Association 2020 right now. I ask you to join me in prayer for it every single day. It won't be Antioch's meeting. It'll be the East Amid Association, we trust, gathering for the 163rd time. There's been a lot of churches of other faith in the world that's changed a lot in that 163 years, dear friends. But I trust that the old Baptist church is still the same. Can improve it. It's the bride of Christ, and it gives him all glory and honor. And I don't want a church that gives him any other thing. I got some friends, they involved in a big judgment house right now. Brother Joseph shouted this weekend, that song by Mercy Me, the best news ever. It says in there about you telling me about people getting left behind. He said, if that's so, then tell me what the cross was for. Friends, he didn't make a way that we'd accept it. He is the way. Oh, and he's worthy to be praised. But he brought David from the sheep coat, made him king over Israel. And David said at the end of this verse, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, the end of this chapter, he said, and I will build thee an house. I will build thee a house. Friends, a house has been built here at Union Church. We have a very comfortable facility to come and worship His name. But I tell you what we need to do. We need to maintain it. We need to maintain it. We need to pray that these pews to fill up a little bit more on Sunday morning. It breaks my heart when you have some that, oh, Brother Charles Matthews was here a couple Wednesday nights ago and sitting in that chair right over there. Oh, that encouraged me. That did me much good. Because I visited with him in his home, and he tells me, oh, Brother Mickey, I missed it. And some that miss it and can't be here for physical limitations. And then you got others that are struggling in this present world who won't come and feast at the Master's table. We can't do it for them. We can't do it for them. But I found this out in my life, that the problems out there are diminished when I can come and be with the Lord's people and feast at the King's table. I trust this evening, if you've got anything what I tried to preach you, you give the Lord all praise, honor, and glory, for it's due Him. And begin praying for the East Amid Association right now. If the Lord shows up, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good. We're going to have a good time. I trust I'll be.